What is death? Is it the end? Or is it the beginning? And what is life? What is this thing we call life?
Indiscriminate. Only when your attention and involvement is indiscriminate does the universe open up to you. Because life is happening because of its openness. This is the fundamental difference between death and life is, people are thinking it's just breath, all right, on one level. That is also openness. Whether you allow this to happen or you don't allow it to happen. Whether you did it consciously or unconsciously, but it's happening, isn't it? Openness is on every subatomic particle, is in communication with everything. That's why this is going on. Breath is happening. So much is happening in connection with everything. It is only in openness you're alive. As you close doors, you're dying in installments.
For now, what you want to focus on is you're hopelessly average. Amazing. And now it's about recognizing that the average human being is designed to learn and grow and to get better. And so now it's a question of how do we put enough time and energy into something to actually get better at that thing? And that really is the key that we want to focus on.
I think when you feel stuck or dissatisfied in your life, it's a signal. And it's not a signal that your life is broken. It's a signal that one of your most basic needs are not being met. Your need for exploration. Everything about your life, about your body, grows. Your cells regenerate, your hair, your nails, everything grows for your entire life. And your soul needs exploration and growth. And the only way you'll get it is by forcing yourself to be uncomfortable.
What's the most important key to success? I think it's hunger. It's not getting satisfied. A hunger that doesn't go away, a hunger to learn, a hunger to grow, a hunger to serve, a hunger to give, a hunger to create breakthroughs. Most people are hungry until they make a certain amount of money and then they get comfortable. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not about the money. It's not about the business. It's about your growth. Because every one of us either grows or dies. People ask me all the time, what does it take to be happy? I say one word, progress. Progress equals happiness, because achieving a goal feels good for how long? A week, a month, 3 months? And then there needs to be something else. And the reason for something else is because you gotta grow.
The only thing that I think people should fear is standing still. So I've often said that running 1,000 miles an hour in the wrong direction is better than standing still.
Stop waiting for something to move you and move yourself. Every day, move yourself. In the morning, move yourself. In the afternoon, move yourself. At night, move yourself. Be very intentional and very deliberate about moving yourself.
Pleasantness is the choice, isn't it? So why is it so much unpleasantness is happening in human experience? Because we never took charge of the inner dimension. We believe by fixing the outside, everything is going to be okay. In the last 100, 150 years, with the advent of science and modern technology, we have fixed too many things on the outside. If you fix any more, there won't be a planet left. Yes, definitely this has brought much convenience and comfort to our lives. In every way, we are the most comfortable generation ever. You agree with me? I know you have series of complaints about how things are not okay, but we are the most comfortable generation ever before on this planet, isn't it so? But we cannot say we are the most joyful generation on the planet. We are the most loving generation on the planet. We are the most blissed out generation on the planet. Definitely not. We are complaining like crazy about everything, like never before. This is because we fixed the outside. Comfort and convenience has happened. Well-being has not happened. If your interiority was handled by you consciously, you would definitely keep this in a blissful state. So is bliss the goal of life? No. Bliss is a necessary condition for life to flower to its full potential. Otherwise, it will remain constrained.
How to address the larger issues of my life? There are no large issues in your life. What is the large issue that you're talking about? It is just about what job to take, which girl to marry.
That covers it.
Where to go for vacation. whether to get married or not get married, you know. These are the things, isn't it? These are not large issues. These are little things in your life. Yes. Oh, is it just a small thing, whom I get married to? I'm not saying it's a small thing. But as an issue, it's a small issue, little issue. As a consequence to your life, yes, it has many things. But this is something that human beings have done for millions of years. We have enough experience on these things, isn't it? We know that whatever job we take, whoever we marry, it is just the way we make out of it. Every experience of life, you can make it an enriching experience. Every experience in your life, you can make a curse out of it. See, there is nothing wrong in your job, whatever job you're doing. There's nothing wrong getting this job, there's nothing wrong in losing this job. There's nothing wrong in getting married, there's nothing wrong in getting divorced. There's nothing wrong in not getting married. There is nothing wrong in anything, there's nothing wrong in this or that. But it is just that you make misery out of it, that's wrong. If you do this, you make misery out of it. If you do that, you make misery out of it. That's what is wrong with you. So you got married, is it wrong? That's not the point. There's nothing wrong with it. You did not get married, is it wrong? No, there's nothing wrong with it. That's wonderful too. You got divorced, is it wrong? No, that's also wonderful. It is just that you make misery out of everything. That's what is wrong. You just address that one issue, everything will be settled.
The ego, of course, looks for liberation from its unsatisfying, unsatisfactory state. The ego knows something is missing, but it always looks in the wrong place. As we've already said, it looks there but never here. So it never goes deep into life, into what is. It ignores the simple reality of the present moment and looks towards the next moment for satisfaction, for that which I can add that will make me complete. Hence its obsession with future, with the next moment. And hence everybody lives that way, almost everybody, as if the next moment were more important than this moment. And isn't that strange? It's a form of mental illness because the next moment doesn't even exist. Except as a thought in your head. That's the only absolute reality that future has, is it exists as a thought in your head. And it is fine. As for practical purposes, it's a helpful thought that there is such a thing as future because it enables you to make an appointment. So it's helpful we got here because of future, because of this thought that there is such a thing as future. But there isn't because nobody has ever seen it or touched it or experienced it. And since nobody has ever seen, touched or experienced it, we can assume that it doesn't exist. And obviously it doesn't, because when the future comes, it's the now. The next moment comes that you wanted to get to, and finally you get there, and it turns out, oh, it's the now again. And the ego runs away from it, not realizing that what it has been looking for is hiding here. No matter what form this now takes. It is hiding where the conditioned mind, which is the ego, has never really looked. It always made the now, at best, into a means to an end, okay, this now, I need this now because it enables me to get to that more important moment, which is the future. Okay, a stepping stone, best of times. Or the ego had reduced the now to an obstacle. And for some people, that is their normal existence. Every day long, whatever comes into the now, they look at it as an obstacle. Get out of the way. I want to get there. Every person that comes in, no. I want something else. The ego always wants not this. It wants to use this to get there. It wants to use every person that comes into now to get there. So every person the ego meets, okay, are you going to enable me to get to the next more important moment? How can I use you to get where I want to get to? The now is made into an obstacle. Or for people who are very strongly identified with the egoic mind, they make the now into an enemy. Continuously complaining, it's never enough. They should, why don't they, this is never, well, they could go into the most wonderful place and after 5 minutes they found the one thing that's not working as it should. And they're complaining, yeah, they should do something about it. If not, I'm going to do something about it. And if they're not complaining verbally, they're complaining in their heads. We're complaining about situations, about other people, about what's happening, or complaining that something that should be happening is not happening. This sounds insane, because it is insane. But it is not nothing personal. It is not recognized as insanity because it is fairly normal. And if it's normal, then it's not recognized as an illness. So that is the dysfunctional state of consciousness that is condemned to perpetual discontent.